Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
It's Friday afternoon, our favorite day of the week. Welcome to the Eagle Hour. Bob Getty in the First Bank Studio in Hattiesburg this afternoon. The full gang, Michael, Kelly, and Luke, all at 4th Street Bar and Grill, as we get ready to kick off another Southern Miss football weekend. And we think we've got an entertaining show for you today. Opening segment of the show, as it is every day, sponsored by our good friends at Dickey's Barbecue. And we want to tell you about their catering. They can cater your upcoming tailgate for the next home game. And we hope that you'll give them the opportunity to do that. They're great friends of the program, as are our good buddies at 4th Street Bar and Grill. And that's where the guys are this afternoon. So, guys, I'm sure being the consummate professionals that you are, you didn't need any free food. You just came down prepared for the broadcast to deliver another edition of the Eagle Hour.
What? Hold on.
Hold on, Bob. Hold on. Let me put this catfish down. Hold on.
Yeah.
Bob, this catfish is like it's sitting in front of me. I'm under the picture where Southern Miss, we beat Nebraska in 2004.
Right.
And I have three pieces of fried catfish. How many did I? I had like five, didn't I, Sanders? I've already eaten two.
I don't know. I'm getting my hamburger.
He's got the 4th Street burger over there.
Using new math, I think that's only five left five.
The Judy McLeod math.
Yeah, so anyway, it's a great day at 4th Street, Bob. Absolutely. Wish you could be here. We're eating in your honor.
So, Michael, I'm sure you came down there and worked. I'm guessing the other two came down there and ate.
That was the first thing they did. Where's the menu?
I'm sure of that. Well, we're glad to be at 4th Street. They're great friends of ours. They've got a big golf tournament coming up, don't they, Luke? We're going to be talking to the beneficiary of that golf tournament a little later in the show, but a big weekend for 4th Street.
Yeah, they've got a charity golf tournament coming up tomorrow. And this tournament, it's the name has evolved, but this tournament goes back a long, long time. And I've got the trophy sitting here in front of me, Bob, and you got the winning names, some of the guys who have won this tournament over the years. I mean, John Bethay Jr. of Hattiesburg, I think, won it like six times. In 1998, the twosome of Bus Cook and Brett Favre, you've heard of them,
yeah, a little
I'm
bit.
Sure. They won it in 1998, but yeah, the trophy that they're going to be playing for is right here, and we're also going to be talking with a member of the local Quarter Horse Association, and you're now going, what does that have to do with anything? You're going to find out just how involved the Quarter Horse Association is with making the Hattiesburg area a better place to live. That's coming up in, I think, our third segment today of the show here live from 4th Street.
All right, Kelly Sander, it's, the eve of the Alabama football game, and, I want to ask you this realistic question. Give me a realistic answer about this. Realistically, no one in the country expects the Golden Eagles to go win the game. But what, other than making the money, which is the obvious reason that they're there, what can a program like Southern Miss hope to gain by playing Alabama tomorrow?
That's a $64,000 question, even though Southern Miss is making a lot more than that in this game. I think that one of the things you might see, and indeed that it has already happened, that Southern Miss may hold some of their starters out of this game tomorrow, because when it comes right down to it, conference play is what matters, and they begin conference play a week from Saturday. But I think you'll probably see, I don't think you'll see Alabama starters in, the whole game either. So as far as what you can accomplish, Alabama's defense, of course, is among the best in the country. That's how you get to be number one. The offensive side of the ball is a lot more important tomorrow, I think, than the defensive side of the ball. The defense has already proven that it can play the way that it flies around the ball, but obviously it's the sputtering on offense. If they can just develop some kind of consistency as a unit, I think you've come out a winner, even though not on the scoreboard. Luke, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the ultimate success is not what the scoreboard says. The ultimate success is not whether Alabama covers a 45-point spread tomorrow. The ultimate success is what can you do that you haven't done in the first three games? And somebody might say, if you didn't do it against South Alabama and Troy, you're not going to do it against Bama. Well, as a football fan tomorrow, and this is a an opportunity for y'all brought it up yesterday, for keyboard warriors around the world in the Southern Miss Nation, don't watch the football tomorrow. Watch what's around the football. Kelly, you and I and Bob in broadcasting, you know, when we do color, sometimes your goal is you don't watch the football. You watch around. And so what you're looking at tomorrow is you're looking for what Southern Miss hasn't done, even though the success may not be there in the first two games. What can they do tomorrow to improve? What can they, you know, can they get off the ball quicker on both sides? Can they, you know, pick up people in coverage just a tad better? Now, I'm not talking about what the end of the play is. I'm talking about the beginning of the play and the middle of the play. The outcome may not be what it is, but you feel like if you can clean up a few things, even if Bama scores on a play or you give up a big play, you got to feel like if you can do a few things right against Bama, you can do it against Rice the following week.
So if I interpret what you're saying correctly, you're talking about the Eagles tomorrow may execute better than they have at whatever they're trying to accomplish, but it may not result in any bottom
sure.
line.
Yeah, so if you get beat tomorrow by five or six touchdowns, what can you positive, what can you take away? You know, because obviously this team that they're playing tomorrow would blow out the other two teams the Eagles have lost to anyway. So, yeah, it's a positive. With that said, to your point, you can't risk. At what point, if you're you know, down 35, when do you put someone else in at quarterback? That's the fine line you got to ask. When do you not allow Frank Gore Jr. to get beat up tomorrow? When do you know, a very thin linebacking core? Like, what do you do, you know, schematically on defense to not just allow them to get a stupid injury in the third or fourth quarter?
And the reason why it's so important tomorrow is because, again, the Eagles begin conference play the very next week in a game that is winnable. You know, again, it's on the road at Rice, but it's a team that you should be able to compete with and indeed win. And so you don't want to go in there handicapped with not having some of your studs available to play if they get hurt in a game like the Alabama game that you're statistically probably not going to win. So I agree with you. I think those are some decisions the coaches have to make, Bob. So that's kind of what we're looking at from here. Your thoughts?
All right, next question for you guys. I want you to tell me, what is Nick Saban doing? Is he just trying to be kind? Is he just giving us coach speak? Is he trying to be gracious? Two comments I heard him make this week. It'll be a challenge for us to run the football against Southern Miss. Then I read just this morning when he said Southern Miss brings an SEC-caliber defense into the game. What's he trying to accomplish?
Well, the first thing he doesn't want to do is, here's the reality of it. Alabama could, you know, half practice this week and probably, you know, still beat Southern Miss by two touchdowns, three touchdowns tomorrow. And that's not an insult. It's just the fact of talent on the field. Saban is such a great coach because he never takes anything off. Like, he doesn't take a day off. He doesn't take a play off at practice. He demands excellence, and part of that is he's got to display it himself. And so I think as far as a coach, when he prepares, he knows that what the final score is going to be tomorrow. He knows that. But in order for that to be there, he's got to demand excellence out of everybody, including himself. So statistically, I mean, the Eagles are. They're third in the country right now in rushing defense. They're 12 overall in total defense. So I think early on there will be positives to take away. I mean, I really do think that Southern Miss will force Bama to punt some. I just what's going to happen is, Kelly, in the mid-third quarter, the defense is going to have been out there for so long that Bama's going to score maybe half or 60% of their points in the second half.
And people will say, too, well, you know, when will Alabama put in its third string or second string or whatever? The thing you have to worry about when you ask a question like that is the first thing a guy in the third string wants to become is a guy on the second string. Okay, and the guy on the second string wants to become a player on the first string. So even if they put in the reserves, whether it's second or third, those guys are going to play their hearts out because they want to move up the next chart.
And they're three or four deep.
You know, right.
That's who our starters are. I mean, and that's Bama to lesser teams in the SEC. I mean, every team in the SEC, probably outside of Georgia, Florida maybe, is looking and saying, like, Bama's threes could start for us. I mean, that's just the brutal reality of what it is. This is not a 1995 to 2005 Alabama game. I mean, it's just – that's not. Now, something crazy might happen tomorrow. That's why you play the football game. But I'm saying is Eagle fans tomorrow – this is not a – well, just listen to what I'm saying. This is an opportunity tomorrow for Eagle fans to not just, like, continue to berate this season when you get beat, you know, 50-10 or whatever it is tomorrow. Like, you got to look outside the score and outside the outcome of plays to find things that give you encouragement going forward.
Eagle Hours at 4th Street Bar and Grill this afternoon. We'll be talking about their big golf tournament coming up. When we come back on the other side of the break, another showdown last night between the Sun Belt Conference USA, two of the best teams from each league. How did it turn out? We'll analyze that. What does it mean for Conference USA when the Eagle Hour continues from 4th Street Bar and Grill?
Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back to the Friday edition of the Eagle Hour. Bob Getty, I'm broadcasting from the First Bank Studio right here in Hattiesburg, Mississippi this afternoon. The guys are down at 4th Street Bar and Grill right in the shadow of the Rock. This segment sponsored by Campus Bookmark, campusbookmark.net. I want to encourage you to buy all your Southern Miss swag from Miss Kathleen and her wonderful crew. You'll find the best selection anywhere on the planet. And you'll never find a nicer lady. You can shop them 6 days a week right there on Hardy Street or at campusbookmart.net. All right, Appalachian State and Marshall played football last night, guys. A couple observations that I had, and I want to get your input on. Number one, I was a little offended to see that App State calls their stadium the Rock. I was not aware of that. I think there's a copyright issue there somewhere. It was a competitive game. Two of the better teams from both leagues, but it seems like, as it always is, the Sun Belt comes out on top. They win a one-point game late in the fourth quarter. Luke Johnson, I hate to say this, but I know that there were times when most Southern Miss fans looked down on the Sun Belt, and there's still some today that do, but it's pretty hard to argue that the Sun Belt, I believe, has topped Conference USA in football.
And it's because of leadership. I mean, that's pretty apparent as far as, like, TV deals go. And Conference USA, up until probably 3 years ago, held on to the fact that it had been around for quite a long time. And you know, even after some of the American schools left, they still retained some of that, you know, swagger. But, man, the Sun Belt, especially with the rise of Coastal Carolina. And really, when you look at Appalachian State, I mean, everybody remembers when they were David and they went into the Big House and beat, you know, Michigan. I think now it's like close to 20 years ago, 15 years ago. But they have just risen to the top of the Sun Belt, you know, with and so this was a school 15 to 17 years ago that wasn't even in the FBS. And so the Sun Belt really identified schools to replace. Conference USA missed, particularly because they tried to replace Media Markets loss with Media Markets they could get, and that's why we have two Miami schools. But I think what the Sun Belt identified with And I think this is what's coming up, and it plays in Southern Miss's favor with possible realignment, is Sun Belt went after fan bases, and they went after people. You know, while they may miss on less eyes, they knew they would, at least they knew the floor of what a school would bring to the table. And Conference USA kind of struck out on some of those ceilings.
Well, and I'm going to tell
you something else.
You bring that up, though, Kelly, before, let me get this in first. Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw the game last night, but the atmosphere in that football stadium was insane. A massive turnout of students. The students were just out of control, excited. The enthusiasm reminded me of the old days here, and I'll be honest, I was just a little taken back at the crowd, the enthusiasm there, and the quality of play from App State. I personally hope that these rumors are true, Kelly Santer, and Southern Miss might eventually be headed to the Sun Belt.
Well, I could make a joke saying if I had to live in Boone, North Carolina, I'd get a little bit crazy too at a football game, but I won't say that. But one of the things that the Sun Belt has done to help legitimize itself, and this has never been brought up, I don't think, before, but when Billy Napier, the head coach at Louisiana Lafayette, decided to stay, all right, he was the hot name on everybody's list, you know, the last couple of years because of how the Cajuns football program has risen. Well, the Sun Belt was always a quote-unquote stepping stone for coaches, like it is assumed Conference USA is. But Louisiana Lafayette came up with the money. Now, look, I'll be the first one to say football coaches are paid way too much as head coaches, and I don't care what school they're at. But when Billy Napier, when they came up with the money to keep Billy Napier, now you've legitimized yourself. It's not a stepping stone conference anymore. Georgia Southern has been in there for a long time. Georgia Southern was a 1AA powerhouse when Irk Russell was the head coach there. You've got the Atlanta market now of Georgia State. But now the Sun Belt is going to start paying these guys.
Jamie Chadwell did the same thing last
year.
Jamie Chadwell makes like $350,000, maybe even less than that, maybe in the mid to low threes.
And you remember,
and he stayed.
And his name was initially on the list of people that Southern Miss was
now,
potentially
Napier's
interested in.
Waiting on LSU, or he's waiting on possibly I don't know if Clemson would take it. When Saban moves, the whole shebang is going to shift around.
And LSU may be open.
Yep.
At the end of the year. You know how far, you know, they've come since their national championship year. So, but the fact that Napier stayed,
yeah,
and that Chadwell stayed, that means a lot. To
now, jokingly, on the flip side, nobody stays at Arkansas State. Nobody stays at Appalachian State. Satterwhite left, Drinkowitz left. And but you look at a guy like Chip Lindsey. I mean, he's in his third year at Troy. And to your point, some of these other schools, I think the guy, I can't ever pronounce his name, at Texas State, he's in his second year there. He's slowly turning that. And so what I see in the Sun Belt, to your point, is that these programs have gone after young, upcoming head coaches, where Conference USA has almost reverted back, not in the Southern Miss case, but you think about previous hires, you think about what FIU has done, some of these others, they have gone to more experienced, named coaches, and the Sun Belt seems to have taken the better approach.
And in the FIU case, that has not worked out. I mean, Butch Davis was a prime coach in his day, but, you know, like me and Bob had our days. Butch Davis's days are long past,
yeah.
But he's still out there. So I don't know that I don't think that's going to work, you know, in the long run at FIU. So Luke talked about leadership. That's where it all starts. We've been critical of leadership at Conference USA. But the bottom line is, Conference USA works for the institutions that it represents. So if the institutions rise up and say we need to make a change in leadership, then Conference USA would have every opportunity to do as well as the Sun Belt. They just apparently have been sitting on their hands and apparently don't have any big interest necessarily in moving forward. Otherwise, something would change.
Well, if you watched that game last night, and again, going back to the atmosphere in that stadium last night, and you watched the caliber of that that App State football team, I don't know, guys. There needs to be some leadership change. What is it going to? Here's the question: what is it going to take to get some leadership change in Conference USA?
That's been what we've been asking for, you know, 2 or 3 years, and people say, "Well, nothing's going to happen until people stand up and talk about it." Well, we've been, you know, you guys both know, we've been talking about this for 2 or 3 years, and nothing seems to change. So, you know, and we don't have any moles on the committee of Conference USA, as these athletic directors or presidents, you know, talk to the conference relationship. But if you're gonna keep on doing what you always did, you're gonna keep on getting what you always got, and that's, you see the Sun Belt passing Conference USA, and then all you've really got left is, like, I don't know, the MAC maybe.
Yeah. yeah, below you, because the Mountain West with Boise and others, they're ahead of you.
No, that's what I'm talking about.
Sun Belt's on the rise, absolutely.
For sure.
Can we agree that the Sun Belt has passed Conference USA in football?
I think they have, absolutely. Oh. I think they have. I think they passed them probably last year when you had Coastal with their rise.
And if you're a Southern Miss fan, of course, baseball has been so prominent at Southern Miss. Looking in the Sun Belt. You're talking
they had
about
a national champion in the last 10 years,
Coastal, South Alabama is always very good. Mm-hmm. Georgia Southern, Rodney Hennen has been there forever.
Lafayette.
As the coach at
Lafayette
Southern.
Is one of the premier.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
So, I mean, you wouldn't – and I would dare say that even in baseball, the Sun Belt has passed. Since Rice is definitely on a down cycle in Conference USA. I mean, other than Southern Miss, who has been a consistent contender for the past – Five or six years, they have been.
Yeah, for the last 5 years.
Okay, FAU, I just don't remember them being that good.
Yeah. Wouldn't you think that the Sun Belt would welcome Southern Miss? Wouldn't you think they would welcome this baseball program and the history of the football program, guys? Don't you think that they would have open arms for Southern Miss?
If you look at the most winning programs in Conference USA, like Western Kentucky is not going to the Sun Belt, right?
Well, they already left.
Yeah, they already left. That's the point. And there was who else were you talking about yesterday that had left that wasn't going to get back?
Oh, yeah.
Louisiana Tech makes everybody mad, and I'm not sure they want to go to the Sun Belt with two in-state teams there. So when you look at, you know, as far as the last 10 years, like winning his program, Southern Miss is probably in the top four, and above them are a couple teams that UAB would feel like they were settling going to the Sun Belt. So Southern Miss is probably one of two teams. I would say maybe even like FAU, Marshall would probably be a better fit in the MAC. But, you know, if you're the Sun Belt looking, you're talking FAU, Marshall, and Southern Miss. I mean, Southern Miss is there. And, again, we fit the Sun Belt model simply because they know the floor. They know what we bring to the table. The media market is way down. I get that. They're not getting a huge media market, but they're getting a historic data of fan base, and that's what they've hedged their bets on to get to this point.
And what's so glaring to me is when you pull up Sun Belt Conference on the web, it'll Wikipedia or whatever, it has a map of all the states that have a Sun Belt school, and one state in the South, glaringly empty, Mississippi.
That's where Mississippi State's headed, though. In 2 years, they're going to move to the Sun Belt.
Right now, no Sun Belt team.
We're at the 4th Street Bar and Grill this afternoon on the Eagle Hour. We're going to tell you about a really, really cool charity coming up. Big golf tournament taking place tomorrow for 4th Street. Eagle Hour continues on the eve of the Alabama football game. Right after this.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Glad you joined us this afternoon. Bob Getty in the First Bank studio here in Hattiesburg. Kelly and Luke and Michael down at 4th Street Bar and Grill. We'll be going back down there in just a second. But before we do, we want to welcome a new sponsor to the Eagle Hour. And we're very happy to welcome Edward Jones. Robert Goss, a great office on Lincoln Road Extended in Hattiesburg, a local Edward Jones specialist, can help you with all your financial needs. He's a big Southern Miss guy, too. Had a chance to meet with Robert the other day, and he was telling me about basketball trips he's made and football trips. So he's a huge Southern Miss supporter. He really knows his stuff about financial matters, and we hope that if you're in that market, you'll check out Robert Goss, Edward Jones. They're at 4 3358 Lincoln Road Extended, Suite 24 in Hattiesburg, and we're very, very happy to welcome them to the Eagle Hour family. All right, as I said, we're at 4th Street Bar and Grill. Kelly's down there with the head man himself. They've got a big golf tournament coming up for a very worthy cause, and Mr. Sander, if you can stop eating for just a couple of minutes, we're going to throw the show over to you.
Gosh, Bob, you know how difficult that is for me to do, right? Especially when you have a 4th Street burger here. But Slade White, our proprietor at 4th Street Bar and Grill, is here to talk about the 4th Street Golf Tournament coming up on Sunday, which, Slade, as we welcome you, first of all, we're sitting next to the pool tables, yeah. Which me and Squawg and Coot like to play a little pool down here. But the tournament coming up Sunday, it's one of the few golf tournaments where people could care less whether they win or not, right?
That's true, and it's probably one of the few tournaments, if you really want to win it, you can buy it. So it's a very fun tournament. People do come out. We have some great golfers. We have some amateurs this week coming in with certain teams we've heard about. So there's some real players out there, and there's the people like me that we'll hack it up with the best of them, but it's all about charity and having a good time.
And you normally have to see the golf ball to hit it, but my stomach has gotten in the way, so it would be difficult for me to play. The weather's going to cooperate.
Finally.
Yeah, it's going to be beautiful on Sunday, according to the weatherman. And because of some situations here with a big donor, you've got some benefit things going on here. Kind of tell us.
Yeah, we always try to pick somebody that's going to really reap the benefits of some money. We'll raise several thousands of dollars. We're not giving away houses or anything like that, but it means a lot to the ones we've picked in the past, like the Southern Miss softball team and Humane Society and Southern Pines. But this year we lost somebody pretty special to us, Mr. Wade Spruill. He's been my number one biggest donor for every tournament in the past. And, he was the head of AAA ambulance, and, we lost him to COVID. And so, it was easy to pick this charity because this was the Mississippi Quarter Horse Association was his passion. Didn't know anything about it. And I called one of my buddies up in North Mississippi that they do this type of stuff. I was like, hey, man, is this a real charity? I mean, do they need money? And he just started going into all the stuff that they actually do.
And actually, that guy is joining us now on the Super Talk Mississippi Hotline from Florence, Mississippi. Brooks Derryberry joins us, the director of the Quarter Horse Association for the state. Brooks, good afternoon to you.
Hello. How are you?
Hey, we're good. Thanks. Kind of fill in some blanks here as to what the Quarter Horse Association does. I know a lot of people might be thrown off by the name, but you guys do a lot of good for a lot of people.
Well, we do. Well, the Mississippi Quarter Horse Show, We've been chartered since, I don't have the exact date, but the late 1950s, and we are an affiliate of the American Quarter Horse Association, which is a national organization, and so we, as an association, have a mission, and our mission in the past has been to promote and educate and help improve the breed of the American Quarter Horse Association. And so over the years, as we have focused on that mission, our mission began to change. And particularly with our youth, as we've focused more and more on our youth members as they've gotten older and become adults and become amateurs, we still promote, obviously, the integrity and all of the quarter horse breed, but we also focus very heavily on our youth and in educating our youth in civic responsibility, in giving back to the community, and becoming leaders in business and in the community and in their association, to be future leaders of the association. So in doing that,
but you've also
go ahead.
I was just going to say, you also have a relationship with disabled veterans and the list just goes on and on.
Right. So what we do is we have a couple of scholarship funds, but we also have two main charitable things we do each year. One is we put on the largest equestrian with disability show in the country every year. It's in February during the Dixie National, where the youth and the association pay for everything for the participants. So the participants, the equestrians with disabilities, both physical, mental, they can come show in this and win prizes, and it doesn't cost. The only thing it costs them is to get there with their horse. The money that the youth raises, and that we also use our horse shows to help fund, goes to help fund the equestrian with disability. So we fund everything for that show, judges, facilities, use of the stalls, and everything. The money is raised by the youth and all through sponsorships and horse shows to help fund that, so the participants don't have to pay anything to participate, and they win trophies and ribbons and jackets just like the regular quarter horse show. And all it costs them is their travel to get themselves there. We also do what
now, Slade, No, very, very quickly. I was just going to get back to Slade, but very quickly. Go ahead, okay. Brooks.
We also do what's called the Dixie Challenge, and that's where we bring in 16 veterans with the Jinx McCain Horsemanship Program that is part of the Simplify Fund for Wounded Veterans, and we teach them basic horsemanship skills. And then once they go through our basic program, then they can sign up for other trail drives, cattle drives. It's part of the Simplify Funds recovery through sports program, the SimplifyFund.org. And we pay for everything. We're the only program that Simplify Fund has where the only thing they pay for is to get the veterans there. Everything else we provide through volunteers, food, horses, facilities, everything. The youth and the association raises the money to support that program.
All right, Slade, back here at 4th Street Bar and Grill. Now, I'm sure there are a lot of people that would like to help out, but I'm sure you got a full field. You do every year.
Yeah.
Right? The tournament is Sunday at Shadow Ridge in Hattiesburg. Mm-hmm. But if anybody that's not playing in the tournament, hearing, you know, all the good things that they do, would like to contribute, what do you recommend?
You can definitely reach out to myself here at 4th Street Bar. My email is jsladewhite@gmail.com, or come by and see us. But we will continue to take money. We earn a lot of money on the course.
Right.
Our cart girls and everything, they all come work their butts off, and they give all their tips back. So we raise a lot of money on the course. Like I say, when you can buy it, you can come up there and say, hey, Miss Cart Girl, will you throw this ball for me for $5? And that doesn't count as a stroke. Or they can come putt for you, hit for you. So that's just a fun tournament to raise a lot of money. Like I say, there's some gamers out there that want to win, but every single dime goes back. We do not keep a dime off this, Kelly.
And I've known you for a while, and I've not known you to be an emotional person.
Yeah.
But I can tell today this means a lot to you. and I don't mean to put you on the spot, and it's okay. But it does. He meant a lot to a lot of people here at 4th Street.
Yeah, Mr. Wade was a special man.
And so you can go, and I'm sure the golf course, if you don't want to swing by, at Shadow Ridge on Sunday, and just write a check or whatever. You can do that.
And we're
as well.
Doing a parent party Saturday night during the infamous Alabama Southern Miss game. So drop by, have a drink with us if you'd like to donate. Gift cards, anything along the lines. This is the tournament you're going to win a prize. A couple of years ago when we had it, we just got to the point where saying, who hasn't won a prize? And here you go. People raise their hand. Well, here you go. Here's a trail cam or something. So we've got fish and stuff. So we have a lot of good donors, a lot of great restaurants. We all bond together because they know that this tournament means a lot to us.
And, Bob, there is, from what I understand, a furthest from the hole prize.
Furthest from the hole, worst dress, most intoxicated.
Most intoxicated.
Yeah, we have a three-time win.
Actually, Bob, the last, I have this on good authority, the last three winners of the most intoxicated award to this day don't know they won the award.
Right. Don't remember it, right. All right, we want to thank
We've got one guy that won three times.
There we go. We want to thank Mr. Derberry for joining us, Mississippi Quarter Horse Association. conversation. And what did you mean exactly, Slade, when you said the infamous game tomorrow afternoon? I mean, I think we're all predicting a big upset.
Hey, I just need to know, are we going to score 7 points? That's over and under for Southern.
That's the question. All right, more from 4th Street Bar & Grill. We'll wrap up this week's Eagle Hour right after this.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, I want to remind you about D1 at DBAT. Great place to take your child if they're into baseball or softball. Some great training at DBAT for adult athletes, young athletes, and old. It doesn't matter. Whatever your sport, D1 training can fix you up. State-of-the-art facility. They've got a program to fit every athlete's needs. And also, once again, want to thank Robert Goss from Edward Jones Financing for joining the Eagle Hour. Glad to have him as now part of our program. All right, we're back at 4th Street Bar & Grill. The guys are down there. We're ready to do our Friday afternoon picks. Slade is with us. He'll be the guest picker. A lot of pressure, Slade. Our guest pickers have done very well this year. So here you go. Here's your opportunity to jump right in there with them.
To totally screw it up, huh?
guests are, Bob, about hitting about a 79% correct rate. So just the updated standings, Bob 23-12 overall, Kelly 23-12. I'm going to pick back 22-13. Mergens is going to give his today. He went 7-4 last week. So
And that was picking Southern, by the way.
That was one of the ones you missed. So.
I picked Southern, too.
And you missed that. Anyway, yeah. All right, here we go. Inside Conference USA tonight, Middle Tennessee at Charlotte. That game will be tonight in Charlotte. Charlotte is a 3-point favorite.
I'm just not big on Middle Tennessee. I'm just not. I'll take Charlotte.
Slade.
I'm with Charlotte as well.
Michael.
Charlotte.
Bob.
As I said last week, Middle Tennessee sucks. I'll take Charlotte.
All of us will take Charlotte.
Can we quote you?
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah.
All right, kicking it off tomorrow at 11 a.m. up in Michigan, Mount Pleasant, Michigan. FIU on the road at Central Michigan. Both teams 1-2, Central Michigan, and 11.5-point favorite. Kelly.
I'll take the Chippewas.
I'm going to go with FIU.
On the road, 11-point dog on the road?
FIU.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Central
Michael.
Michigan.
Bob.
Kelly's the only person outside of Michigan that knew the nickname of that team. I'll go with Central Michigan, too.
I knew it. I have some friends that went there, so right, I knew okay. it.
I'm going to go with Central Michigan at home, and Slade is the rogue agent.
There we go. There's where I'll beat you.
All right. At the Liberty Bowl tomorrow, Memphis, a 3-point favorite, Memphis. UTSA at Memphis. This could get pretty interesting, Kelly. UTSA already beat a Big Ten team on the road.
And I did not see why they were getting all the love in the preseason. I do now. I'm taking the Roadrunners at Memphis.
Wow. Slade?
I'm going to take the home team.
You taking Memphis?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Michael?
UTSA.
Bob.
Memphis wins the game.
In a close one.
Yep, Memphis.
I want to take UTSA, but Memphis beat the SEC last week, and they're flying high. I'm going to go with Memphis.
Before you go to the next game, Luke, Slade, you do understand the rules of this game.
Right.
To pick the winners.
Right.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, he did. He picked Memphis. You're
right.
The one that picked UTSA.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see.
Right,
all right.
You're
not picking Buffalo at – no Buffalo at Old Dominion, no Texas Southern at Rice. All right. North Texas at Louisiana Tech. Tech is an 11-point favorite in Ruston. Kelly.
Yeah, Tech wins.
Absolutely.
Tech.
Bob.
I'm going with Tech, too. Bulldogs across the board. All right, this one's pretty interesting. Indiana comes in 1-2. They're at Western Kentucky. They're a 9-point favorite on the road in Bowling Green. I'm tempted to think this one might be a little closer, Kelly.
No, Indiana played Cincinnati really well last week. They lost to Cincinnati, but Cincinnati's with the top, what, 5 or 6 team. I'll take the Hoosiers on the road.
I'm with the Hoosiers as well. They're coming off a good last season, and I think they're going to get it together.
Yep, Hoosiers.
Hoosiers.
Bob.
The Hoosiers.
I'll go with Indiana to make it a sweep. FAU goes out to the Rockies. They take on Air Force tomorrow. Falcons are 4-point favorites at home.
Boy, that's a tough one, too. But the difference in Air the air out there, I will take the Falcons to soar.
I'm going with Air Force.
Yep, Air Force.
Yep.
I'm patriotic. Bob? I'm going with Air Force.
I'll go with Air Force, too, so I'll make Kelly stand on his own. But, yeah, so I'm going with them. All right, tomorrow down in Yulman Stadium in New Orleans, Tulane, a 3.5-point favorite. UAB comes to town. Blazers 2-1, Tulane 1-2.
I will take UAB. Now, we haven't picked a lot of Conference USA teams
right
out of conference, but I think UAB goes down there and gets it done.
I think Tulane by 2 touchdowns. They're showing
Whoa,
out.
Oh, how about that?
Come on, Michael.
UAB.
Yeah. Mm, Bob?
I'm on board with the Blazers.
Nope.
I like Tulane.
I think it's going to be close.
Me and Slade versus the world. I'm taking the Tulane Green Wave.
That quarterback's for real.
And I was going to say, this isn't an ACT test, but UAB has
all right, head versus heart. Strong heart, strong head. Southern Miss Bama, it's a technicality. Kelly?
Why looking at me?
Come on.
Alabama.
Bama.
Mike.
Oh, my mic.
Bob's picking Auburn in this one, so we won't force him to reveal his cards on air. All right, here we go. NFL, real quick, Washington at Buffalo, speed picks.
Buffalo.
Bob?
Buffalo.
I'm going Buffalo, too. Bengals at Steelers.
Bengals against anybody. Anybody.
Bengals.
Steelers.
Bengals. Ah, I'm going Bengals. Bob,
what?
Who in the hell picked the Bengals?
You guys are crazy.
Who picked the Bengals? I'm with the
Michael Burgess did.
Slade and Luke both did.
Saints at Patriots.
Patriots.
Saints get it together.
Who dat?
Patriots.
Who dat?
Patriots.
There we go, Bob.
Patriots.
That was fun.
All right, that wraps it up.
You can take us out for the week, Bob. There we go. That was the cue.
Yeah. And Slade, thanks for having them down there, and make them pay
Thank
before
so
they
much.
Leave, please. Since I didn't get to come, hey, we appreciate you having us down there. We'll be back Monday at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss
to the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.